Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The campaign cash doesn't fall far from the family tree. Today on the Dakota Political Junkies, we'll talk about wealthy relatives and campaign funding and much more. Joining us today, we have Roger Whittle. He is managing editor of Watertown Public Opinion. Roger, welcome.
Hi, Lori. Glad to be here.
We're going to get started without Seth Tupper and just jump right into things, Roger, because but maybe we should wait for Seth to talk about campaign cash because he wrote about it in the Rapid City Journal. So let's jump ahead a little bit and look at what's next. How about John Thune, because it's been a while since we've talked, and he's moving up in the world even further than he already was as the elected majority whip in the U.S. Senate. What do you think, Roger, the significance of this? He already had a pretty influential voice in Washington, but now there's even more?
Right, a little bit. I mean, he was, I think, the third-ranking Republican in the Senate, and now he's the second-ranked. So he's just moving up one step. Good for South Dakota that we have one of our senators in such a high position. That can certainly not be a bad thing for our state.
Right. And let's talk about back home a little bit of that leadership announcements for the state legislature, because the Democrats have come out with their list of who will the legislative leaders be. A couple of relatively new faces on that list. We've got Senator Troy Hinert, who is leading the House and Senate caucuses. That's not perhaps a surprise. But then folks like Aaron Healey and Jamie Smith, who are Aaron just got elected this year. Jamie was in last election.
Right. That's kind of unusual for a newly elected lawmaker to be put in a leadership position right away. She's one of the Democratic House whips. But, you know, you got to realize that there's so few Democrats in our legislature that right. there's a lot fewer names to pick from. But interesting that she just got elected and is immediately one of the leaders of the House. That'll be something to follow this year.
Right. And Rennell Nessebaugh also as a whip. So this could be an interesting session with some of those voices in peer.
Right, and we have a new assistant leader in the House is Steve McCleary from up in my neck of the woods here. He's a lawmaker from Sisseton, who's a farmer up there, and it's nice to see him move up in the ranks.
I think we're joined now by Seth Tupper. He is with us from the Black Hills Surgical Hospital studio in Rapid City. Hey, Seth.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. We're talking a little bit about Democratic leadership, and what do you think is, some of the challenges? What are some of the challenges for Democrats this upcoming session that leadership really has to sort of address?
Well, as always, they're incredibly outnumbered, which right. is the main challenge. But
just getting their voice heard. Form a book club and call it good. Is that what we think?
Yeah, I don't know. But, you know, that's it's an amazing challenge when you're as outnumbered as they are to get your voice heard, to get any toehold in legislation, and because the Republicans don't need them to pass anything just by the numbers. So the challenge is to develop enough productive relationships with Republicans so that they'll listen to you and take your suggestions into account and listen to your ideas for legislation. I'm interested to see, you know, Troy Hinert rising into the leadership in the Senate in place of Billy Sutton. Troy Hinert strikes me as somewhat of a firebrand, somebody who is probably more liberal than Billy Sutton. And it'll be interesting to see how he handles that leadership role. Does he try to take the Democratic caucus in a more liberal direction, a more outspoken, confrontational direction? Does he take a more conciliatory approach? Because he's a guy that can really, get people riled up. We saw him give a speech at a Bernie Sanders rally here back in 2016, which he was very fiery in that speech and unabashed in his support for Sanders. And so given that he's in leadership, it'll be really interesting to see where he takes things.
Right. Roger, what does success look like? I mean, how do you measure success when you are in such a minority that has a different definition?
Boy, that's a good question. like Seth said, they're so outnumbered, they can't really get anything they want passed without, the Republicans agreeing to it. So, I don't really know how they would how they would define success. You know, they don't even have enough people to really successfully block anything that the Republicans want to do. So it's a dilemma they're in.
Yeah. Seth, your thoughts on other ways that they can, that such a small group of people, and you've got people like Troy Heinert and Reynold Nessipa and Aaron Healey in here who really ran on some, you know, more liberal ideas than maybe Billy Sutton, for example. What does success look like for them?
Well, that's, I don't know how they define it. You know, we saw how Billy Sutton defined success in the legislature. And I, you know, as you say, they're different. They've presented themselves differently. But, you know, Billy Sutton, who led the Democrats for quite a while in the legislature, seemed to define success and relationship building, reaching across the aisle, finding common ground with Republicans so that Democrats could have a voice and have an influence. And I guess that's what we'll see. This session does the new vanguard of leadership view their job that same way, or do they maybe see their defined success as pointing out their differences and with Republicans and having an alternative voice and trying to build on that toward the next election?
Right. And I misspoke earlier as I said. Troy Heinert had the House and Senate caucuses. Obviously, he's the senator, and it's Jamie Smith who's in the House. And Jamie Smith would be someone, as far as I can tell so far, is a more moderate, conciliatory, cross-the-aisle, intentional person.
And that's one thing. We have some new people. I don't know Jamie Smith. I've had quite a bit of experience with Troy Heinert, and yeah. He's certainly a genial guy as well and gets along with people, but he's also the type of guy that's not afraid to pick a fight or let you know where he stands.
Right. So. Let's go back to some campaign finance questions, because Seth, you wrote a story for the Rapid City Journal about relatives giving money and the laws and the rules in South Dakota, which was really fascinating. So tell me, how does this happen? You're sort of looking through the campaign finance reports and you see something unusual. Tell us how this story started.
Exactly. So I was looking through, you know, the last full campaign finance report that candidates had to file in South Dakota was in October. And then thereafter, they had to file supplemental reports for any contributions they received over $500. And in the governor's race, they were filing supplementals almost every day as money just flooded into the race. So in the days after the election, I was looking at those supplemental reports just to kind of see how much money ended up coming into the race. And I was looking through the list of contributions, and I see a contribution from an individual to the Billy Sutton campaign for $10,000. And that is odd, because the limit on individual contributions per calendar year is $4,000. So I contacted the Secretary of State, Chantel Krebs, who oversees this kind of stuff, and said, how is it possible that an individual gave the Sutton campaign $10,000? Is this a typo or what? She said, well, that's his father-in-law, she said. To which my response was,
what?
I don't get it. And she said, well, if you're related, you know, you can give unlimited contributions. And this was news to me, but she pointed the law out to me, and sure enough, we have a state law that says if you're basically within the third degree of kinship of a candidate, which goes out to uncles, aunts, and great-grandparents and great-grandchildren, et cetera, and if you're a spouse of any of those people, you can give unlimited contributions to statewide to candidates for office in South Dakota. So if you're the spouse, you're the parent, you're the child, you're the grandparent, great-grandparent, uncle, aunt, niece, nephew, and the spouse of any of those people.
And so that's everybody in South Dakota.
arguably.
Could give to somebody's campaign.
This could be, in some instances, right. This theoretically could be a network of dozens of people for some candidates, right. And if these people are wealthy. And this happened to be Billy Sutton's father-in-law, who runs a chain of banks in South Dakota, who is a man of means. And so I did some digging into it, and you know, some other states have this as well, but some other states don't take it out as far as we do. Some states it's just to your spouse, or you know, maybe to a first or second degree of kinship, et cetera. But we have a pretty wide loophole here to receive unlimited contributions.
And I talk a little bit. I will bring Roger back here in a minute, but talk a little bit about this. You can't. There's not a database where you can just search this. How are these records kept? You have to sort through them to find out how widespread of a practice this is.
Yeah, that's a real weakness with our system. So if you go to the Federal Election Commission website for federal races, like for U.S. House and U.S. Senate, you can search. It's a database. You can search for an individual contributor and see how much money they've given to everybody. You can search by amount. It's fully searchable database. In South Dakota, we don't really have a database for our campaign finance information. We have scanned images of documents, and so you can search for Kristi Noem's documents or Billy Sutton's documents, but you can't search, for an individual contributor and then find out, all the contributions they gave to everybody. You can't search for contributions greater than $4,000 to try to find these relatives.
Right.
You'd have to go through every individual scanned document to look for this. So it's that's something that we need to improve on.
And Roger, this is part of this broader conversation, and this was a law that was repealed with initiated Measure 22, and then the lawmakers did repeal and partial replace of that. This is part of the ongoing conversation about what campaign finance looks like in the state of South Dakota, isn't it?
It is, and it goes beyond that. Every so often we see these national surveys that say South Dakota is government is one of the more corrupt governments in the country, and I think it's laws like this that contribute to those surveys that they look at the laws that we have, and yeah, that's a huge loophole that people could conceivably use in nefarious ways.
If it's legal though.
Well, right,
right?
But
yeah.
I think yes, it definitely. But I think you could go. This, there's cracks in the law,
right.
People are going to find ways to make those cracks wider and wider and wider. And the second thing I'd like to say about this is one more example of great journalism that we have in South Dakota. Thank you, Seth, for writing this story. It's these types of stories where reporters dig and dig and dig and uncover these things that is important really to all of us in South Dakota.
Yes, Seth Tupper, we're grateful for investigative journalism. And you're at the top of the list.
Well, thanks. This wasn't
sure
all that investigative.
Is, yeah.
It was, that's what's funny about some of these stories is you just see something weird and you ask a question.
I suppose, yeah. The definition of investigative. Okay, so
yes, and we need people out there asking these questions.
Yeah. So, Seth, do you think that there's a potential for getting at least the database sort of, or making progress in the area of how it's tracked, so people can look at it more effectively? We just have about 30 seconds left.
Well, that'll be up to our new Secretary of State, the next one, Steve Barnett. I'll put the plug in right now. That would be a great thing for him to work on.